Hello and good afternoon, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This is the JRPG Report, episode 159, and it is Thursday, April the 1st. I've got a big announcement to start today's podcast, so I hope you are ready. Last week we had a big announcement. There's another one this week. I've decided to take the podcast in a slightly different direction. We're still going to be covering our beloved JRPGs, but this is now going to be a mobile-only podcast. So all you silly console players and PC Master Race, you can just, really got no use for those things. They're really kind of antiquated technology, and clearly the superior format going forward is going to be cell phones. They are, actual gamers, and we should support them in their quest to still play games on the go while they ride the bus or the train or in the back seat of their mommy's van. That's fine. They are awesome people, and we should have a podcast every week just devoted to them. So our first story is another Eden, the Cat Beyond Space and Time. It was available on mobile, so it's now coming to PC. So we'll cover news like that as well when it finally gets released on PC. It's fine. I prefer it being in my hand, but if it comes to computer so they can play it, that's fine too. That is available as of right now via Steam. You can get some login bonuses if you do that right now, of course, up until May the 14th. Okay, I can't go on any further. I said that with a straight face as long as I could. It is April Fool's Day, so I had to do at least a little bit something for you guys, right? It's not good unless you have a little joke out there. The story is true. Another Eden is coming to PC via Steam. That's actually not a bad little game with some production value behind it. And yes, we'll still want to cover mobile games. We should not ignore them completely. They are kind of fun from time to time. But no, there's no there's nothing going on with as far as a content shift on the podcast. You'll have your JRPG news delivered to you by me, James Fisher, each and every week. Don't fret. Last week's announcement is a little more confirmed. Let's put it that way. We've been wrestling with the idea of moving for a long time. It does appear that both of us are fully on board with the idea. Sometimes you have ideas and it's like getting into a pool. Sometimes you tip your toe in the water to see how cool it is, and maybe you slowly wade into the shallow end. But, especially if it's colder water, the best way to do it is just jump in and get it over with, right? Do it all at once. And I think we've both dived into the deep end and we're really on board with this idea. So coming this summer, we'll be moving down to JRPG Island and doing that craziness. But let's get into the podcast. We've had enough shenanigans so far. And I want to talk first about, I always don't always know what to lead the podcast with. We've got a ton of great things to talk about today, but I wasn't sure what to lead with. So I'm going to go with something I'm pretty excited about. And we kind of briefly previewed it last week, but that it got a debut trailer and some information this week. And that's Astria Ascending. And, back when we were previewing games that were going to come out in 2021, I did, there at the end, perhaps throw in, hey, there's going to be some surprises. You don't always know every game that's going to come out in a given year. Well, this game is coming out in 2021 in the West, and it is a surprise. It will launch for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. This is being developed by Artesian Studios, and it is a definite love letter from Dear Villagers to JRPGs. Also, it's coming to Xbox Game Pass for console. I just want to throw that in there. So here is a quote from Artesian Studios director Julian Bourgeois. He said in a press release, he said, "In Astria Ascending, we wanted to explore how people cope in extraordinary times." Well, that's a timely topic for sure. "Each hero has their own perspective, but it's the relationships they form with one another that truly brings the story to life. The Dear Villagers head of publishing, Guillemette Garmet, added, "Seeing this world come together has been a delight, and it's an honor to have so many legends on the team helping out, like a childhood dream come true. Astria Ascending is more than an homage to the classics. It's the perfect next step in our publishing line of ambitious JRPGs." And they're talking about so many legends helping out. To be quite honest, I don't know if I really talked about this last week or not, or if it was already known. So here are the two. They did a separate interview with both. I hope I can get these names correct. Kazuse Nojima, who was involved with Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy VII Remake, and music from Hitoshi Sakamoto, who's best known for his work on Vagrant Story and Final Fantasy XII. They've also got art from side designation artist Yoshida and Manaba. But it's more the Final Fantasy pedigree that we want to talk about. And that's what the two, that's what the video focused on and their involvement with it. So Nojima is doing the story, the character design, or not design, but the... He's basically doing the story and the direction of the game. And then, of course, Sakamoto is doing the musical score for it. And from what I've seen story-wise and what I've heard music-wise, it definitely sounds like it's going to be impressive. This is a world where chaos looms. Players will take control of the demigods, which is a motley crew of eight heroes charged with the fate of the world. Each character has their own story, explored across five cities, 25 dungeons, and 30 hours of gameplay, up to 50 for 100% completion of the game. Along with finely tuned turn-based combat, players can try out a range of side quests and minigames, including an original original fantasy-themed token game. So what I thought was really interesting, and I learned this from the interview, is these eight characters in this world of different races, these are kind of the normal human type citizens. They're just average everyday people. And I guess once they come to a certain age, they are selected to become the demigods, which are their protectors of the world. And they seek to keep the harmony balance, which is like a special fruit. I'm sure more will be revealed at some point in time, but basically they are charged with keeping this balance between the harmony of all these races and species living together. Of course, there's these evil ones known as the noises that show up, and you know that's always bad news. I think the art design is beautiful for this game. It's a side scroller in terms of exploration, but then the battles are turn based. It's a separate thing. It kind of has that like Battle Chasers look to it, although flipped, with the characters attacking from the right onto enemies on the left for the most time. There is like some light platforming segments. So think like this was just in Persona 5 Strikers as well. It would have some 2D side-scrolling platforming type elements. Very light, you know, kind of just jumping up platforms in order to get to treasure chests, you know, that type of deal. But I am impressed with what I've seen so far, and especially for a game that's supposed to be coming out in this year, I'm very excited for it. They talk about it being like a more mature title and dealing with some heavier ailments to it. At first, I thought the characters, I want to say on loan, but from previous Final Fantasies, I thought they were more like advisor type deals. But they are thoroughly involved with the process of this game. Like, they don't, you know, obviously they're not doing like the art direction for it. They're not involved, but you know, the most important, perhaps two of the most important parts are going to be your story, your characters, and then, you know, music adding to it. And they are handling that part of it. So check out the trailer. It is on our YouTube channel. I think if you are a fan of turn-based battles and of, you know, kind of more of a classic. Well, obviously, there's some new elements in it, but it definitely has that classic feel to it. And see if you're excited about it as I am. And I don't think it'll let me post the interview one. That's some of those videos get flagged for those type of things, but that'll be evolved. You can check out the interview part. I'll put that during the video version of this podcast, as long as it doesn't get flagged as well. Keeping with the April Fools idea, no, I don't have any other jokes to play on you guys, but Square Enix definitely had a ton in tongue-in-cheek type of trailer shenanigan going on today, as but they expressed it as such. It wasn't like they were trying to fool anybody. They released a special. They're calling this the Slow Life RPG April Fool's trailer for Nier Replicant, and I think it's about a minute and a half. You can check it out on the YouTube channel, but it's very much kind of set up more like the Story of Seasons type of gameplay. They say it this is in Japanese, of course. It promises an unforgettable experience with activities such as gardening, interacting with animals, fishing, and an assortment of unique characters. I mean, doesn't that sound so much fun? They have obviously some video going along with it. It is quite humorous, and I can truly appreciate something fun going like that. You know, it's all stuff that's in the game. It wasn't like they made anything. They just edited it in a fantastic fashion to kind of give people a good little laugh. So yeah, you can definitely check that out if you're looking for a laugh today or any day. There was also some more screenshots shown off for the game, as well as some gameplay footage previews. I'll link the story on our social media channels on Twitter and Facebook. Famitsu did one, IGN Japan did one, and then there's an English one via PlayStation Access, saying five things you need to know about the upcoming game. You can check those out along with some images there on the Gametsu site. The game looks phenomenal. I just, like I talked about before, I'm definitely making a strive to work through the backlog a little bit this year and not pick up any new ones. I will definitely pick this game up at some point. Just not quite yet. But that one, of course, is coming out for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on April the 22nd. In Japan, we get the next day. In North America and Europe, along with PC via Steam, worldwide on April 23rd. I would have to imagine here at some point very soon, this is going to get a PS5 upgrade version, as well as Xbox Series as well. Just a matter of time. And to be quite honest, I'm surprised they haven't done that already. In other news, the big release for last week was Monster Hunter Rise. It came out for the Switch back on March the 26th worldwide. So keep in mind, this is a worldwide release, so it's going to have all those numbers at once. But I don't know what they consider to be a successful launch for this game. This one kind of even eclipsed my idea. So right now, they have shipments and digital sales for the game at 4 million. That's an impressive number, especially considering it's just for the Switch. Now, obviously, I'd love to know the breakdown, like in Japan, because we know this series is just so huge in Japan. But coming out worldwide, that's not even counting, you know, PC sales, which isn't going to happen until early 2022. So yeah, that is a fair number of units that have already shipped out the door for this game. From what I've heard, the early feedback on it is very positive. People are liking this game, and the sales certainly back that up. Let's knock out a couple quick hits here as we kind of just be directing you guys over to YouTube for these next couple stories to check out trailers. Publisher FIRYU and developer Historia have released the Quigley Effect 2 music trailer. This time is for Bluff Man, who is composed by Cosmo at Busu P. I'm just reading you guys what it says on the copy. I don't know what any of that means. But yeah, the newest musical trailer. This guy is kind of interesting. Look, he's kind of got that gold mask looking thing, reminiscent of the Persian king from 300 or something. This looks pretty crazy. So yeah, you can check out that newest music trailer. Something that we've talked about a little bit. There is a new trailer for Nayuta no Kaseki, which is that action game spinoff from the Legend of Heroes developers. They had their debut trailer come out for it. I think it looks really cool. This was a PSP game that they have kind of upgraded to PS4 with some new visuals. That got a very impressive looking trailer, let's say that. It is due out on June 24th in Japan for PlayStation 4. Still no word on any sort of Western release or if it's even a thing or not, but definitely you'll want to check that out if you're interested in it. There was a live stream a little bit over an hour for the upcoming new JRPG Dungeon Crawler, Manyu, and I kind of snipped out about 13 minutes of gameplay for this. This is kind of one of those first-person Dungeon Crawler Explorer-type games, so if you're kind of like me, that those games can make you a little sick, know what you're getting into with that one, but if you're kind of curious on what this game is looking up to, you can check that out. They did say some details about that it is, they're not thinking about putting it on any other platforms besides the Switch at this game, and they want to find a company that will port the game overseas, and at that point they may actually decide to bring it out to other systems at that point in time if that company chooses to do so. They want, this is a dungeon RPG, return to its roots. They want players to reproduce the excitement and fear induced by the original Wizardry game. So it's definitely going back in the old school type deal for that. So yeah, check that out. 13 minutes of video. There is a new trailer for the upcoming HD remaster of Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. This has been dubbed the World's Rebirth. This game is coming out pretty soon. In the West, it will launch on May the 25th for PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC via Steam. So if you're looking forward to that game, there's that new trailer that you can check out on our YouTube channel. We got the first full trailer for The Wicked King and Noble Hero. Now, it details the three story episodes and various gameplay systems. Of course, it's in Japanese, so it's a long trailer, I think over 4 minutes long, and you're not going to know what's going on in that, but it is cool to see the game in action. If you want to know exactly what's going on in it, there is a detailed summary that goes into just a ton of detail displaying the different images that go along with it. I would sit here and explain it to you, but you kind of need the images to go along with it to kind of understand what's going on. So I will invite you to check out our link on either our Facebook or our Twitter feed to learn every bit about it. They say the stories of a little fox, a coral, and a princess. This game looks super cute. It's going to turn off a certain segment of the population, but I think it looks pretty cool and something I would like to check out in the future. So we'll talk about some other trailers at some point, but those were the quicker ones that you'll definitely just want to head over to YouTube and check out, as you should all the time. We try to post things nearly every day. If there's content out there for me to repost, I will certainly do that. Of course, you get video versions of these very podcasts with all the trailers included in them. And if a big batch of screenshots come out that's not in a trailer form, I'll put those together in a slideshow so you can check those out as well. In other news, we talked about GamesCon not long ago, and we do have confirmation of Tokyo Game Show 2021. It is set to run from September 30th till April the 3rd. As of this time right now, it is going to be online only. So unless things change dramatically, that is what they're going to go with. The theme of the games is we will always have games. And this will be its 25th anniversary. The first one was held back in 1996. I'm looking forward to that. That's always kind of the big, you know, potential huge thing that we, you know, in our JRPG genre, that's where we go to each and every year. That's our, well, I was going to say that's our E3, but, you know, E3 is just not barely anything anymore, which is something growing up I never thought that I would say. But yeah, September 30th until October 3rd. Again, it's going to be online only unless things greatly change. There was an article coming up. This one has come out for the Switch, and that's Aria Chronicle. That's a tactical RPG. No, it's currently available for the PC. It's coming to the Switch on July 8th. I guess that's going to be in Japan. Yeah, it's Japanese, but it does support Japanese voiceovers with English, Japanese, Korean, and Chinese text options. So you'll be able, of course, for Switch, you can get any game and do it that way. Not a game for me, per se, as a tactical game, but certainly something that you guys may be interested in. They promise unique characters, strategic turn-based battles, numerous customizable elements, challenging quests, and an epic story. Like I said, you can pick that up for or PC right now, but it's coming to Switch on July the 8th. Yeah, so that's another one. A bit of a surprise announcement. You guys are probably, and this is not exclusively to JRPGs, but you guys might have heard about the PlayStation Store for the Vita and the PlayStation 3 shutting down. From what I understand, the web version of it is already shut down. The actual PlayStation Store on PS3 will close on July 2nd. The actual PlayStation Store on Vita will close on August the 27th. Yeah, so, and PSP as well will end on July the 2nd if you're still rocking there. So that's kind of a bummer, but it's one of those things like, you know, we saw this with the Wii Store, that it finally shut down, and the 3DS Store. I guess they just can't keep these things going on forever. You will still be able to access and re-download previously purchased games. You'll still be able to access previously purchased video/media content. You'll still be able to redeem game and PlayStation Plus vouchers. And you'll still be able to re-download and play claimed titles through PlayStation Plus as long as you remain a member of that service. Here's what you're not going to have. You will no longer be able to purchase games on those three platforms, including games and video content. You can no longer make in-game purchases on those games on PS3, Vita, or PSP. So if you are get while the getting's good, right? You've got a little bit of time. They did announce this in the future. There's a whole bunch of Q&A that's on their website that you can check out in case you've got further questions. But that's kind of in a nutshell. You're going to want to get to this quickly, like I said, on PlayStation 3 before July 2nd or Vita before August the 27th. If there's anything you want to purchase, you best do it now. like I said, you can still download those once you purchase them at any point in time. I guess the downloads options will still be available in case it gets erased or you run out of memory and you need to do it somewhere else. But yeah, it's kind of sad, but it's just one of those things that has to happen eventually to all those services. There's a new character trailer for one of my most anticipated games of this year, Christ Tales, which is coming from Modus Games and developers Dream Unincorporated and SYCK. In this character trailer, they announced the voices cast, as well as detailed some of the characters that you'll be playing with. Kira Buckland is the role of Christabel. She's the main character, a young orphan with a slim figure that is unaware of her latent powers as a time mage. Until Mateus the Frog, everybody needs a frog guy character, helps unlock her abilities. She's able to see into the past and future and connect with both of them to change the present. Cody Rock is the role of Mateus, a small orange talking frog with a black top hat who meets Crispell at the beginning of the game. After stealing a rose from the garden Crispell is tending, he leads her to the cathedral where she discovers crystals of time, granting her powers to control time. He will assist her party in a variety of ways throughout the game. Lindsay Vega is the role of Wilhelm. Wilhelm is Crispell's magic teacher, who you'll meet early in the game. He looks like a child, but he has a pretty remarkable amount of skill and experience. He tends to be a bit sarcastic. He is well known in the city and is friends with many members of the Oritus family, the most powerful family there. Zeno Robinson is the role of Christopher. He's a brave and heroic mage warrior who helps defend the kingdom from goblins. He fights with dual gauntlets that can be joined together to create a shield to defend against enemy attacks. His magical abilities allow him to conjure different elemental attacks such as fire and water that can be enhanced by Crossbell's time powers. Lizzie Freeman is the role of Zass. Zass is an upbeat, outgoing, and bit of a wild card. Crispell's party will encounter her upon the arrival in the Kingdom of Cinder, where she will aid the team with her explosive set of tools. She is instantly recognizable by her athletic build, dark apparel, and large green bag. And Damon Mills plays the role of JKR721, also known as K, which is a mechanical android built to fight. His armor grants him the ability to charge and attack rapidly with a series of electrical attacks, assisted by a jetpack underneath his coat. He exhibits a genuine curiosity about the world and will join Crossbell on her adventure. Remember, this one is coming out in July for every platform under the sun outside of mobile. Still waiting on an actual firm release date, but July will have to hold us over until then. It was recently announced that both Atelier Ryza 1 and 2 combined have surpassed 1 million units sold. Publisher Koei Tecmo and developer Gust announced. And to celebrate the milestone, they released a special downloadable content costume for both games, as well as the re-release of bonus costumes Summer Adventure and Divertimento's Embrace from the original game until March 31st. Those are available right now. Let's see. We'll receive the White Lily of Summer costume for Ryza 1 and the High Summer Formal costume for Ryza 2. Character designer Toshinardo hinted at the existence of a Atelier Ryza 3 during this live stream to celebrate the 1 million shipments. Upon reading the fan question, will there be Atelier Ryza 3? The cast, including Ryza voice actor Yura Noguchi, answered that with replies like, "I have no idea. And I really hope there is." But Toramono alone had a more telling expression. When the host pointed this out, he said, "I know a little bit, but you know, well, I can't really say anything." Upon hearing this, the other presenters reacted in surprise, muttering things like, "What do you know?" Like we said from the very beginning of this whole thing, as soon as there was an announcement that there would be a Ryza 2, we know the Atelier series works in trilogies. This is by far their most popular character, and there will most assuredly be a Ryza 3. And just like with Ryza 1, they could have easily ended it after 1. They wrap up the story. There's no cliffhangers, you know, nothing too surprising. I can only tell you in part 2 that they complete the story. It could be, you know, they could wipe their hands and walk away. They could do just like they did, though, with part 1 and part 2 and bring those characters back. And I would not be opposed to that at all. And I don't think any other players would be either. In a, I'm going to say odd announcement, but certainly something I wasn't expecting, Atelier Online, the Alchemist of Brassile, is coming to the West for iOS and Android devices. This was developed by PHN Play Art and first launched in Japan back in October of 2018. The free-to-play adventure RPG combines the features of previous entries in the Gust developed Atelier series with online play and cooperation with other players. Didn't have a release window or anything like that, just saying that it would be coming to the West. There was a minute and a half video that went along with this announcement. I don't know why, but it was kind of in a low resolution to begin with, only up to 480, but it still looked fine. And it didn't show any gameplay or anything like that. It was kind of just like, basically looked like an opening movie, if I had to guess on what that was. But yeah, if you've been looking forward to that one, it's coming. Sure, why not? Also, no big surprise, this one though, Genshin Impact is coming to PS5 this spring. You probably could have easily saw that one coming. It's already available on PS4, PC, iOS, and Android, and just seemed like a natural that there would be an upgraded PlayStation 5 version. It will feature higher image quality, performance, and further evolutions, including upgraded textures across every part of the game, 4K resolution support, and faster load times. There you go. There was supposed to be a Switch version planned, but there's been no real announcement about that just yet. But yeah, it's coming. I still enjoyed that game, but I have certainly not picked it back up in quite a while. I just kind of fell off. It was enjoyable and it was free, so that's all you can say. Speaking of PlayStation 5 versions, an open beta test for the PS5 version of Final Fantasy 14 will begin on April 13th alongside the release of patch 5.5. Square Enix announced official service will launch immediately upon the conclusion of the open beta tester. Users who are currently using the PS5 version will be able to use their existing characters and game data during the open test. The PS5 version boasts a rich and unparalleled experience, end quote, with lightning fast loading times, greatly increased frame rates, true 4K resolution, 3D audio, and haptic feedback. Looks awesome. I've held off this long, so maybe that's what I need to do, is just get me a fancy new system to experience that online world. The announcements were not quite done, but there is for Final Fantasy XIV, as the Digital Fan Fest 2021 was updated to include more information, including the events that will be held during the two-day event on Saturday, May the 15th, and Sunday, May 16th. This includes development panels, a letter from the producer live, and two live performances. Additionally, digital activities will be available for the audience to participate in through the game. You can check out all the different events that are going to be going on during this time frame if you head over to our Facebook channel. Make sure you give us a like there or follow us on Twitter for all these stories that we talk about, including stuff pretty much every day as far as I can get to it. If you've got Spotify, you can now listen to both Defaultly Braves 1 and 2's official soundtrack. They have been released under the Composer Revo's official Spotify page. There you go. Looks like the music is fantastic for this game, so that would be a fun thing to listen to while you are on the Spotify. We talked a little bit ago about the Kingdom Hearts PC versions coming out. Well, they are available now, and they are even on sale until April the 6th. So they're about 20% off right now. So you can get 1.5 and 2.5 remix for $40. You can get 2.8 for $48, as well as Kingdom Hearts 3, along with the Remind DLC for $48, and even Melody of Memory is on sale for $48. There you go. So if you're looking to get those games, you might as well do it at a bit of a discount, right? Why not? Pre-registration will begin for Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds here soon, Netmarble announced. It will begin on April the 14th of 2021. I'm not sure if that is, I guess that's for all devices. I've not got on there to see if, it doesn't say if it's specifically for Japan or not, so I guess it's going to be worldwide. Yeah. All it says is the release is still planned for Android and iOS sometime in 2021. So maybe get onto your iOS device or Android device and see if that is something that you can go ahead and sign up for. Ni No Kuni is such a I don't know. I certainly enjoyed Part 2, but yeah, it's still all about Part 1 and how great it was, and not sure how this one certainly seems to lean towards Part 2 in a lot of aspects. There is going to be an awesome big orchestra performance from the Suikoden series sometime in April. This is obviously going to be over in Japan, a series of them, and it'll be held every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that's 20:30 in Japan time. And you can purchase online tickets for this. We've got that all linked on our Facebook and Twitter pages if you're interested in throwing down some money for those. Suikoden series, always known for its great music, so I'm sure that would make for an incredible concert experience. This one just came across, and I don't even have a news story for it yet, but not surprisingly, there is going to be a physical version of Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated for PlayStation 5. When you buy that physical version of it, you do obviously get the game as well as the DLC for Yuffie. It is included in that. If you pre-order it, you will get the Kakstar weapon, which Yuffie can wield in her content story. So that's pretty cool. There is also the digital deluxe format. Let's see. And you'll get all that stuff, including a digital art book and digital mini soundtrack. So you can check out that. That's on the Square Enix website, and I'm sure it's going to be coming soon to the PlayStation Store. I don't know if that's up yet. Like I said, that one just came across the Twitter feed not too long ago. There was a interesting story that came out about the best-selling Tales of games, and it broke it down. It gave us a worldwide sales via Japan and via North America. And there was some slight differences. Overall, the best-selling game, and it's pretty close, actually. Best-selling Tales game. What overall worldwide? It's going to be Tales of Symphonia at 2.4 million units. I'm sure that includes all versions of it for various systems. You know, if you go back to GameCube or if you got the release on like PlayStation 3. Right behind it, and probably in no small, definitely helped it out, was the recent release, is Tales of Vesperia at 2.37 million. So just under it. By 30,000 units, that's pretty close. In a distant, well, not distant, but in third place, Tales of Destiny at 1.7 million copies. There is some interesting differences. So, like in Japan, Tales of Destiny is the best-selling one. Then Tales of Phantasia and Tales of Eternia, all over a million units sold. In North America, it's Tales of Symphonia and Tales of Vesperia as the top-selling one. And even Zestiria, not my favorite, at third place at 600,000. But so, like, the best-selling North American one, Symphonia, is only number 7 in Japan, whereas Tales of Destiny, of course, that was... Japan only, was it not? Or maybe came... You know, well, it's not... Let me tell you this. It's not... didn't mean to hit the microphone there. Sorry about that. It's not even the top 10 in terms of sales in North America, and just not as available. What was that? Was that on PlayStation 1? Tales of Destiny? Oh, man. So many Tales games. I get them all confused up in the old brain. But yeah, just definitely definitely some interesting sales numbers. And yeah, still waiting on Abyss news. We may be maybe waiting on a while for that. I shared an interesting interview with the Persona 5 Strikers crew. They spoke with Atlus producer Kanada and Koei Tecmo director Sakaguchi about how the game came together and all the various. It's a long interview, so I won't read the entire thing of that, but you can check that out on our social media channels. I finished up the game a couple nights ago. Interesting enough, you will not see it a live stream of the last bit of the game as it was blocked. I've not, usually when I'm playing games at my slow as a snail pace, by the time I get to the end of it, they're not blocked. But yeah, I got in there and it's a short game. This is not a typical Persona experience. I think it was all told around 40 hours, maybe a little bit more by the time I got to the end of it. But yeah, the last little chunk of the game was completely blocked. So I could not actually got about halfway through a live stream and it got to a blocked section. And that was the end of live streaming Strikers for the next little bit. And I appreciate that as it, not to ruin anything, but it's like, well, what about the 35 hours before that? I'm sure people didn't want that ruined either, but it's out there. I don't know. It's stuff that's beyond my control. Overall, I liked the game. I'm not going to say I loved it. I liked it. It was a different change of pace. As I said before, I had to play it on easy mode as it was quite challenging for someone like myself. And I tried my best and was able to complete the game without much difficulty. It was almost like I needed some sort of, most of the time I would have liked some sort of difficulty in between easy and normal to give me some sort of challenge. But I was able to enjoy the story because I didn't have to worry about constantly dying in the action parts. And this story is phenomenal. It is a true sequel to Persona 5, not to Royal, and just getting to go on a crazy road trip with this zany cast of friends was so much fun. Their back and forth banter is hilarious, and it just felt like, a whole group of friends was kind of reuniting and you were a part of it. So I would definitely recommend it. You've got to know what you're getting into. And I might even suggest if you're not good with, this is an action game through and through. It does have RPG elements to it, but it's going to be difficult if you're not good at those games like myself. Go ahead and just suck it up, put on easy mode and enjoy it because the story is certainly worth experiencing. I would recommend it overall, but you just got to know what you're kind of getting into. One last thing to throw your way is the PlayStation Store Spring Sale 2021. I was not actually aware of this one. I kind of forgot about it. So it's going to have two phases in it, and it's pretty much the month of April. So starting today, it might have already went live. So the first 2 weeks, there will be a selection of them, and then the last 2 weeks, there will be a different batch. The first phase of the event is now in effect with various games available for less than usual. However, there'll be even more games on sale eventually. A second wave will kick off on April 14th. Keep in mind that some of the sale prices for these titles, the first batch, will expire on April 15th. Others will be available until the 29th. I don't know if this is this is not a full list, but this was certainly what our friends over at Siliconera thought were ones of note. Okay, so I'll try to pick through just the JRPGs of this one, or like it. So like 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim, or however you say that word, is down to 36. Ryza, commemorating its 1 million sales. The first one's on sale for $30. The second one down to $48. Blue Reflection is down to $30. Catherine is down to $20. Not a JRPG, but along those lines. Code Vein at $15. Dark Souls 3 at $15. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot down to $24. Disgaea 1 Complete, $20. Not a JRPG, but one I want to pick up at some point in time. That Ghost of Tsushima, or however you say it, is down to $40. Ni No Kuni 2, while not my favorite game ever, it's down to $9. Now, you sell me Ni No Kuni 2 for $9 as opposed to $60, and I'm a happy camper. not a JRPG, but Resident Evil 2 for $16 is worth playing all over again. 3 is down to $20. Great game. As always, for these sales, anytime there's a sale going on and JRPGs are involved, Tales of Berseria is in there. And you've got another chance to pick it up for $10. Do yourself a favor. If you do not have this game, pick it up. It is worth every bit of $10. Good grief. And if you got another $10 around, you best pick up Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition. $10? Okay, I know you're like me. You like physical copies of it. You can get it on Amazon for $30 sometimes. But $10? Man, that's two great, great games for $10 each. Don't sleep on those. That's not the complete list. Head over to your PSN store and get the full list of games. I'll probably check that out. If I see anything else that catches my eye that was not on here, I'll bring it to your guys' attention next week. That's it. Hope you enjoyed our April Fool's podcast. I'm sorry if you thought I was serious there at the beginning, but had a lot of fun with that one. As I mentioned before, we're not live streaming anything at the moment. I'm actually playing through Trails in the Sky the Third on my PC, and it's on my laptop. That's the only way I can play it. It barely can play this old Vita game, basically. But streaming is not really an option at this time. I'm enjoying that. Streaming will come back once I have a new game to play. And hopefully here in a few months when we are down there on JRPG Island. Don't forget, give us a like on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, give us a subscription on our YouTube channel. We are inching closer to 1,000 and those oh-so-elusive pennies that YouTube will give me. And if you love what you hear each and every week, guys, I would love if you would support us either through the Anchor app itself, you can do that, or through Patreon. We are accepting donations over there. If I throw this out there that I had a pipe dream of doing this full time, in addition to my other, weekly paycheck, if you guys were wanting to step up and do that, I would be so appreciative. I accept any type of support. Really, I do. It really makes a difference. Your couple bucks makes all the difference in the world. It gets me fired up each and every week. I'd have to have about all of you to throw a couple bucks in every month, but that would maybe the wife wouldn't make me get a second job if everybody contributed, but that's the way it goes. Thank you so much for listening each and every week. I will see you guys back here again next week with more fun JRPG news. Until then, get back out there and level up.